Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
allí en la fuente había un chorrito. Se hacía grandote, se hacía chiquito.
Hello, hello, hello.
Show, show, show.
How are you, Babelito?
I'm better. I still sound like I'm sick, but I'm much better.
Yeah. Have you gone to the doctor yet?
I'm better, yeah. Mexicano hasta morir, güey.
Mira, hasta con la aseguranza y no vas al doctor.
Es que, wait, I have to figure it out.
And you have to make one phone call. It's just too much.
No, but I'm much better.
I can't.
And it's not contagious. I have the receipts.
How do you know?
Because.
Oh. Estúpida mi pelo. Wow. Okay.
How are you doing?
I am great. Uh-huh. I'm good.
You're back in town.
I'm back in town for a little bit. Beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. I've missed you so much. I mean, I've been in New York the last couple weeks, and it was pretty incredible. But I will say, I'm happy to be home.
Yes, always. I mean, your bed. That mattress.
Beesh, I can't wait to get sponsored by that mattress so that I can talk about it. But it's so good. I know, there's nothing like your own room, like your own bed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I miss that.
Yeah, I like, every time I come back from a trip, I get like a solid like 8 hours of sleep as soon as I get in. Because it's like so much.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
So what did you have for lunch today? Or what did we just eat?
Well, we ate all day. We started with New Mexican food.
I know.
Dude, they wet that shit till like it's dead. We're talking about smothered.
She's the wettest in the building.
We're talking about smothered huevos rancheros. No sean mal pensados.
I had a wet burrito because, I mean, you might as well wet it if you're smothered. I'm sorry, smothered burrito.
Smother, yes. Yeah. That was good. I ordered a Christmas, half red chili and half green chili. And
what if you're Jewish? What do you order?
We'll talk about it in the next episode.
Okay. Save it for the listener letter episode.
And we also had some amazing sandwiches. You tell me what I ate, because I just ate it. And you're like, you're going to love it. And you were absolutely right. But I still don't know what I ate.
I have no idea. I just know that there's a local sandwich shop right by my house.
It's not local. It's a chain in like...
Is it?
Like five states or something.
Well, they don't sponsor us, so...
Yeah.
There's a very popular sandwich shop right by my house. And I like it because they make fake meat. And, you know, I'm trying to like not eat that much meat. And the turkey there tastes like real meat. So I'm always amazed. So I love their turkey vegetarian sandwich there.
Yes.
And then they also have this thing that's like a pastrami sandwich.
Oh, my
God. Pero tiene... It's like...
It's como mantequilla.
They have... It has like coleslaw in it and just like...
Pero coleslaw...
So much mayonnaise.
Se te chorrea así como...
Yeah.
Así,
yeah, 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 yeah. So we had that. That was good.
The other day I was telling El Tocayo, I was trying to give him shit for drinking almond milk.
Who is this Tocayo you always talk about?
It's a friend of mine.
Oh, okay, because you've mentioned him several times and I'm sure people
anyway,
are wondering.
Anyway, no, people, yes.
Okay, well then just say your friend.
So he was telling me, no, I was giving him shit for drinking almond milk. I'm like, do you know how much water it takes to grow those trees? And he looked at me, he goes, you know how much water it takes to raise cattle? I'm like, boom.
I know.
We cannot escape it, man.
I always think about that. Like when people say like, you know how much water it took to grow that tree? I was like, do you know how many like forced like fertilizations a cow has to go through to stay pregnant to keep making milk?
Yeah.
And like, it's like all the trauma that it goes through.
Meat is so environmentally unfriendly.
I actually don't care about that, but I'm just saying like... It's funny to hear like the both sides of each argument.
It's just you can escape it. We're part of the system. We're like all guilty. That's how we have been conditioned. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't do anything to fight it. But we all pick our fights. I mean, and I like my meat, so I'm sorry.
That's why I drink cashew milk.
Exactly. There's alternatives.
I don't know. I'm just
milk
bullshitting.
Is good.
It's probably worse for the environment than anything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
So how was your teaching at UNLV this semester? How's your Aztec history class going?
Well, I'm going to get into
it. Aztec art history?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been amazing. And what I'm doing is that it's an experimental course because I never taught it before. So I have like 30, 40 readings, and I'm doing the readings together with my students. So some of the readings, instead of actually giving class, I'm sitting down and deconstructing the reading. And today we talked about how history is created. And it was so interesting because some of the students got emotional. It was very good because we realized that this country has been constructed over a series of myths that tied us to a legacy of conquest and a legacy of colonization. Just go to the Capitol building and you see scenes from the colonization of the Incas and the Aztecs, and why are they in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
So we talk about that, the construction of history, and how basically from the time history is happens to the time somebody writes a book about it after they review documents, it's just a series of silences. A lot of information gets lost. So we talk about how silences create myths, like the myth of the nation. And it got intense. It got really intense. And it was really good. It was really good.
What happened today?
I felt like some of my students
were
getting woke in front of my own eyes. And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
So,
any white tears?
I'm not going to say. I respect my students, so I cannot say. Yes, it was a good moment.
That's so sweet.
And in the Listener Letters episode, I'm going to get into it.
So that's coming up soon, right?
Yeah, so we're going to, I'm not going to say, but just a quick preview.
Yeah.
One of the letters was about our talk in Micah and some of the Aztec motif that we talked about in one of our live shows. So I'll get into my Aztec class when we get into that letter.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
How was your trip?
Oh my gosh, New York. Do you want to go blow your nose real quick?
No, it's not in my nose, dude.
Where is it? ¿Dónde está?
Te lo juro que traigo atorada una mierda en los pulmones y se me sube y se me baja como la bolita de Garibaldi.
I love that song.
Anyway.
It reminds me of the 90s. I miss those days. Remember the 90s?
No, I don't.
What?
I mean, I don't miss them.
I do.
Anyway.
Life was so much simpler then.
No, it wasn't. How was New York?
Oh my gosh, New York. I love ya. I don't know. It was cold. It was wonderful. I stayed with my friend Thomas in Queens.
Shout out Thomas. We love you.
Yeah. Now I get it. Like if you live in Manhattan, like it's hard for you to go to Brooklyn, I guess.
I know. Before I was like
I was like, I don't get it. It's just get on a train.
Like
que
mamones, yeah.
Que mamones. But I was staying in Queens, so it was like I had to like walk 20 minutes to get on the L and then go into the city and then get off on the last stop. And then, okay, so here's my schedule one day, okay?
Okay.
So I was in Queens. I wake up hungover as fuck.
Girl, you always in Queens.
At like 11. And then I'm like, fuck, I got to go to this brunch. So I went to this brunch. I wanted to go to this brunch in Harlem to visit Barry from the last episode. Shout out to you, girl.
Shout out, Barry.
From podcastincolor.com. And I walk to my friend Autumn's house because she's on the way. Mm-hmm. And then Autumn and I get on the
L.
Get on the L. And then we take it all the way to the end. And then we go all the way up to Harlem, right? By that, it took us about an hour and a half.
Damn.
To get all the way to this place to eat brunch. And so we're there and I'm like looking at my clock my imaginary watch, because I need to be back in Sunset Park, which is like Brooklyn, like the opposite end. And
oh, that takes another hour and a half.
It took us, bitch, there was construction. It took me 2 hours to get there. So
Damn. Now
I get it when people are like, so what part of New York are you in? I'm like, it doesn't matter, bitch. Come meet me. Let's have a drink.
Yeah, it's like 10 miles.
No, it's a lot. Shit. It's a lot. And it snowed one of the... Anyway, we're talking about transportation and that's boring. But I did spend most of my New York trip in the subway trying to meet up with people.
I know. Last time I was in New York, it was like that. It just... But I mean, I don't know. I guess it's worth it for some people.
Yeah, but I met a lot of our listeners, which was really cool.
Shout out to all of them.
I'm not going to remember everybody, but off the top of my head, Francisco.
Shout out, Francisco.
Zach, Carlos, Ari, Ariana, and then, oh, and the reason I went all the way down to Sunset Park in Brooklyn, you know, that's where all the Mexicans are. This artist, Angel Garcia, invited me because they're doing a fogata. So there's this little spot in the neighborhood where, like, by a cemetery, I think. Or I think it's, I don't know. It was dark. I couldn't tell. Sorry, no offense. And this group of artists and, like, just, like, I feel like I can call them, like, cultural producers. They're all hang out with each other. So imagine this plot of land in between, like, in between two buildings in New York. It's like their community garden, okay?
How cool.
And so they have a chicken coop in the back because I think the guy's name is Rigo, who has that land or who uses that land. And, you know, he kept telling me, like, yo soy del rancho. Like, I love this shit, right? So he has rancho a chicken coop in the back. And then they had a table with, like, barbacoa and elote.
Yes!
And it was BYOB, so we brought some beers. And they had a fogata going. And then there was a DJ. It was, like, so cool.
That's amazing.
And all of these people I met.
When you FaceTimed me, I thought you were, like, in a club.
No,
like, girl. Outside of smoking.
No.
That's awesome.
Please. You know how much cigarettes cost in New York?
Oh, my God. Como $14.
It's crazy. That's hell insane. To the no. So, yeah, it was so great meeting them. And, oh, wait, Raul was another one that was there. Anyway, I'm just going to spend the whole fucking time doing shout-outs. But I felt so connected to New York this time through the people that I've met. Because I think every time that I've gone, it's just been to, like, big museums just to look at art. And you're just, like, trying to figure out, you know, like, where to go. And this time I'm like, okay, I got this.
I see you.
I got this.
I see you, New York.
Okay, so let's talk about a couple big things that happened. The second day that I was there, I got together with Richard Tina from Songmas.
I don't want to talk about it because I'm getting mad. I'm getting... Listen, Linda. Listen.
Yeah.
I was so annoyed and jealous.
Excuse me.
Let me finish. That I couldn't listen to the episode. But I finished it today and it made me very happy. I love everybody. It's genuine jealousy. Es todo.
Excuse me, you went and did a Songmas episode with Richard Tina and Beverly Sha.
Oh, that's right. That was such a good episode.
It was great.
By the way,
and did I get jealous like you?
Yes.
I did, but I kept it to myself. And I just like, I'm going to choose to enjoy this for him.
2018, I don't keep any feelings in me. I'm just going to say it all out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, bitch. 2018, you a liar. You're a liar. That's what's happening. Fuck you. Okay. But the best part is I wanted to hang out with Lavero too. And I was like, hey, let's have lunch together.
Awesome.
So we all met up in Brooklyn. It was just so much fun. And we're just sitting there. We're like, let's just record an episode, the three of us together. And we were shooketh when Vero was like, yeah, let's just get in my car and go to wherever your Fabi's staying, at Thomas's house.
Nice.
And so we went back to Queens. And we recorded an episode. And if you haven't listened to it, it's called The Best Little Whorehouse in New York City. Because it's an episode of Songmas about musicals and country music.
It's truly a song mess.
Yes. And there's like some trap in there for some reason.
Yes. I know. That threw me off. I was like,
what?
Okay, let's do this.
Because I wanted to do an episode about musicals because I feel... like,
ay, no empieces conmigo con esas mamadas, güey. I don't...
Bitch, please.
No. We talked about this before.
You like really bad music, and I like really bad music. It's okay.
Me?
What you think is good is not what I think is
good. I never said it was bad music. Don't throw shit like that. I said I fucking hate it, and I don't like it.
Yeah, that means that you think it's bad.
No, I just don't like it. I can recognize something's good and not like it, and absolutely hate it.
That bird is a liar. I don't know what you're talking about. So anyway, it was so fun recording with those three and just spending the day. I mean, I think halfway through the card ride, I was like, you guys, I'm just so happy to be hanging out with you guys.
Aww.
You know, I just and then also like Thomas is one of my best friends. So it was just so nice to just like be chilling and not like working when I'm mm-hmm. in New York, you know? So we did that. And then that night mm-hmm. we met Jazz from, shout out to Jazz from Jazz. Unravel podcast. Uh-huh. And we met at this place called Metropolitan. It's a yes. gay bar uh-huh. in Brooklyn. Oh, you know about that bar, don't you, bitch?
Yes.
And we Dorji Thor performs there. And so it was
in that tiny, tiny little
stage. It was a drag race viewing party with Thorji Thor. It
that's
was
good.
Awesome.
I wish I liked Thorji. Was she good?
Thorji's amazing. Why don't you like Thorji?
I don't know.
Tell me. Let's talk about it right now. Break it down.
No. I don't want to talk about the fucking queen. I mean,
Why don't you like her?
I have to see her life. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. Es que no me hace cosquillas en los huevos, güey. Like, it just doesn't do anything for me. Like, it just... No, nothing. It's the same thing
with
milk.
You don't think she's funny? You don't think she's like...
I can't get over those ristras.
What is that?
Las... ¿Cómo se llama el pelo?
Her dreads? Mm-hmm. That's true. Never trust a white person dreads. With dreads. Okay.
Case. With that in mind...
Caso cerrado.
Damn. The segue is real.
Damn, you got me on that one. Anyway, New York was fun, and I'm going to be out there in the fall. I can't wait to hang out there for an extended period of time, and hopefully you can come out. So all these people want to meet you out there, dude.
I'm going to try to go for a week, not just a weekend, because I need to. Every time I'm in New York, because you spend most of your time in fucking public transportation, you feel like you didn't spend any time at all. So I want to be there for at least 4 or 5 nights.
What do you want to do in New York?
I want to... I want to see art, and I want to see listeners. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have a Google Calendar, and mm-hmm. I'm going to schedule it for you, because we need to make the time that you're there.
Hold down, beach, because I...
No, because it'd be good to do a lot of crossover, because there's so many cool podcasts out there that I met that it'd be nice to record with them, and record with all those community members that I was telling you about. Damn. All those badass people that I met.
Let's do it. I'm down. Let's do it.
Down movement. We have to make another. We got to do another fogata when we're out there.
Oh,
are you guys listening?
And it's not gonna be that cold.
I know it's gonna be beautiful.
September. Yes.
September.
Mi cumpleaños. Down.
Oh my gosh. The big 4-0.
Cállate, pendeja. Don't listen to him. Anyways.
So I'm so excited for the listener letter episode, you know?
Oh my God, it's going to be good.
But today we have a little teaser.
Yes.
So not everybody's letters made it to the listener letter episode because, mm-hmm. you know, our episodes are only an hour. But sporadically, we'll be having some listener letters on our Guara Guara episodes like this one.
Correct. And in fact, what we decided to do for this episode is that we read this letter and it inspired to do the whole theme for the show.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read the letter first and then we'll get into it, como dices tú. My name is Pamela Joseph. I'm 32, born in New York to Dominican parents. I grew up in an area where just about everyone is Dominican, so we always keep the culture. When I was younger, my mom, my tías, mi abuelita would always tell me and my cousins to marry un blanquito rubio con los ojos azules. I grew up thinking that my skin was too dark, my butt was too big, and that I had bad hair. My mom was forever putting chemicals in my hair porque a los blancos no le gustan los rizos. Don't even get me started on black people. I heard tía say to cousins so many times, cuidado si me traes un negro aquí. Damn. Fast forward to 2008, I met my husband at work, yes, un negro. Boom! Of course, now everyone loves him, although I still sometimes have to put up with my tía and her place when she says, al menos no es tan negro. Anyway, I'm so thankful I found your podcast. You have both opened my eyes to so many different ideas, perspectives, Latinx artists, and with all honesty and humor. I cried from sadness and from laughter with you both because of Latinos Who Lunch and other podcasts I have found through you. I don't feel like I'm alone in some of the things I went through and heard as a Latinx woman. Listening to you, Fabi and Babelito, is like going to lunch with my friends. Again, muchas gracias por todo. Me muero en un abismo de pasión. Los quiero, Pamela Joseph.
Oh, thanks, Pamela.
Pamela's, and she also gave me the recommendation that I'm going to give today at the end of the episode. So this episode is dedicated to you, Pamela Joseph.
Okay.
Let's get into it, man.
Colorism is real.
It is real.
Oh my gosh. So we were just on KNPR, our local NPR station here.
Yes.
And the person that interviews us is a white cis cisgender man. And we brought up colorism because we were talking about Latinx representation in movies and television. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, colorism, stop right there. Isn't that the same thing as racism? And we had to break down colorism because sometimes, well, most of the times, white people don't have to think about that, right?
Yeah.
Even though they're the ones that constructed colorism.
The
pigmentocracy, as some people call it.
Correct.
Right?
And just how they also created the idea of whiteness. This is why I'm stopping myself from saying white, because that's also a construction. And we need to stop giving that benefit, right?
I don't know if I agree with that.
I think so. I think that whiteness is an invention. It does affect.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But I like to call out whiteness because anytime you say like a white person or call a white person white, you can see that they're uncomfortable because they never have to think about being white.
But that's okay. But I also don't think that we should generalize, like they generalize against us. I feel like we cannot do the same thing. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to stop myself because I like in my class, I'm very specific about European white men from like whatever period, because I'm not going to say all white people, because that's not true, man.
It's mostly is, but I know
no,
what you
no,
mean.
No, I know what you're saying. And it's not,
I'm making
and
a
it's
bad
not
joke,
to but... give, it's not to give benefit to anybody or to create categories specifically for that, to erase right. some of those categories. So sometimes I feel like we're at fault. And Josie talked about it. He said, we keep blaming everything on white people, but what about our responsibility with certain things?
Josimar. Oh, Josimar.
Yeah, he talked about that in our episode. And that made me think. I was like, you know what? Absolutely right. Yes, we have to acknowledge the fact of oppressive history started by this group of people. But at the same time, we cannot go on life just blaming. You know what I mean? So I don't know. That's a thought that came to my head. And I've been wanting to say it here, but now we have the opportunity.
Okay, so back to colorism.
Yes, ma'am.
So give me a little... I know you know a lot about this because of your PhD in Mexican art history.
Never forget it.
Okay, let's talk about it. Because it's a construct, right? And it's also like... It started with colonialism. The Spanish came over here and very specifically in Mexico set up this casta system, right? This
Correct.
Caste system.
And it's so fucked up because everything is built under the idea of the nation.
Right.
The first nation was Spain because they reconquered their territories from the Muslim. So as they're reconquering La Reconquista, they started to uplift their own identity. So by the time they arrive to the Americas, they already have institutions like the Inquisition to make sure that there is a clear difference between Jews, Muslims, and Christians, right? And Christians, all Christians as they call it, are always on the top. They had differentiation in their caste. For example, if you were Jew and you were converted into Christianity and came back to Judaism, you were called marrano. You were called a pork.
Shit.
Yes. So that's the kind of categories that they created when they reconquered the territory. Fast forward, they finished reconquering in 1492. The same year that Christopher Columbus arrives to the Americas was the perfect opportunity to apply those categories into the Americas.
Yeah.
So from 1492, in a way, it's a process of institutionalizing race in this country. By the time we get to the 17th and 18th century, it's a very specific system that if you have Spanish blood, you're on the top. If you have black blood, you're all the way to the bottom. And there were over 200 different categories of castes in Mexico.
Yeah, so these paintings are usually... I feel like we've talked about them on the podcast before.
But casta paintings?
This is your first time listening. It's usually a painting of a couple.
It's like a mother and... It's like a family...
A father, a mother, and a child. And then it actually has written in text what each is classified as. So like mulatto mixed with
blanco
equals whatever. So and they're done. I mean, I will say some of them are really beautiful, like the way that they're painted.
Yeah.
But then what's really fucked up is how racist it gets. Like the darker the people get, the more barbaric they get.
Correct.
And almost like they almost paint them as animals, you know, by the end. And they call them animals.
Yeah, like lobos, coyotes, like,
yeah,
you name it. Like it's a really messed up series of categories. And this, for example, one of the categories is if you mix Spaniard with albino, you get Return Backwards. Salta para atrás. That's the name of the casta, so, right?
An albino black person mixed with a Spaniard,
you get Return
Salta
Backwards.
Patras.
Uh-huh. And then if you mix Return Backwards with Spaniard, you get Hold Yourself in Midair. Tente en el aire.
Wait. Okay, so that's too much. I got it.
So and then you get Coyote, Chamizo, Albarazado. What is interesting is that you could mix with Indian blood. But if you keep mixing with Spanish blood, you can come back to being Spanish. But if you mix with black blood, that's it.
And
you could never have pure blood.
That's interesting because that rule still applies. And some of those castes are still used today. Like people still use the term mulatto.
Or mestizo.
Or mestizo.
Yes.
And proudly.
And proudly.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't understand the levels of that. So I'm not going to get into that. But all that to say that, you know, that's where this colorism comes from. And I want you to talk about a little bit, because I've read a little bit about La Blancación or Brancación, as they say in Brazil, which was a big idea that was also happening at the same time, right?
In different countries. And the thing is that all of those ideas of brancamiento, it all deals with the purity of blood.
Yeah.
So this casta system, you could prove the superiority of your casta through an actual trial.
Yeah.
And you can show, like Blanche, right, in the Golden Girls. Like, I come from this lineage of whiteness, therefore I'm a Yankee or whatever she was.
Yeah.
Now, Southerner, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm the same thing with the casta system. You can prove that you were Spanish by saying, I own these lands, and these lands were owned by these people, and this is my last name, and blah, 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 blah. So there's files upon files in the Archivo Nacional, for example, in Mexico City, where they keep all those documents that they show you how the cleansing of blood process went through.
So when was that?
That was 17, 18th century. And so that's what I'm
1992.
saying.
1992.
It was last year. But all of that to say that the first ideas of the superiority of the whiteness of the Spanish men, it wasn't even Spanish, it wasn't a country yet.
Yeah.
Of the Iberian men was transferred to the Americas, but then in the Americas was a very cosmopolitan place. Mexico, Veracruz, and all those places were like New York. There were people from all over the world because we have black blood with us. We have indigenous blood. We have Asian blood. And that's reflected in all these castas, Chino, Cambujo, Coyote, and all those things. So those processes and that idea of the purity of blood comes from an institutionalized system that reigned for over 200 years. And that's what people in the early 20th century wanted to do in different places like Brazil. Mm-hmm. And also, I think in the Dominican Republic, there was this idea of purity of blood, especially when they have to confront themselves with the blackness of Haiti, right? Which is always like this anxiety.
Yeah.
So, and that affects our identities, that in a way, the way that we see ourselves as Latinos was formed in the early 20th century. And how does it get reinforced? Con películas, con telenovelas. Like, it's just the same ideas, that instead of having a static painting where you have Spanish dad, Indian mom, the result is a mestizo, you have...
Now we have moving pictures.
Exactly. Mm. But it's the same thing. So, like what ahorita ando, like, I'm obsessed with Mexican movies from the 1940s. Look at those movies, and it's like a casta painting.
Yeah.
It's the same story del noble savage, right? Like, el indio en el campo.
I mean, look at the novela right now.
Exactly.
Today.
So the language of the novela comes from the época de oro of the cine, and the época de oro of the cine comes from the early 20th century, and the early 20th century comes from the colonial system. So it's like all linked. So when I hear somebody like our listener that is sending us a letter specifically about that.
So let's go back to Pamela and her... Uh-huh. Her husband, who is a light-skinned black man, and now their family accepts him.
Mm-hmm.
And so this problem within
the Latino...
It's
starting to accept him, yes.
It's starting to accept him. This is a problem within our community.
Yeah.
Colorism is real. Mm-hmm. I know that it exists in the black community, but it's, I think especially in the Latino community.
I agree.
just from my experience.
My experience so too.
I'm just going to talk about it from my perspective.
Go for it.
Ever since I was little. I've always noticed when people in my family were different, when they were darker, because they were given a nickname. Like
El Negro.
My little brother is darker than me and my middle brother. Oh, sorry. So there's three of us. I have two brothers. My middle brother is darker than my little brother and me, right? So his nickname, guess what it was?
El Negro.
Negro.
Yes.
Since he was little,
right? I have cousins with that
Just nickname. Because he's a shade darker than
exactly.
us. Exactly. Right? And when you're little, you don't know what that means, but you know that it's not like, you know that it's like an endearing nickname, but it's not a good thing.
And the problem is that it doesn't come just with a nickname, because there's nothing wrong with that. It comes with jokes.
Yeah.
Oh.
My family is, my Guatemalan side, I should say, looks very, everybody looks very different in the family because my grandfather has like German roots and my grandmother's like Maya, right? So they either came out looking like, really white like my mom and or really dark like my grandmother. So there's a mix, right? But anytime anybody in the family came out dark, their nickname was Negra or Negro, right? Shout out to my tia. shout out to my tia Negra. So just little things like that.
Yeah.
Right? You can see. And then also this idea. I've actually heard somebody in my family say, oh my God, mira, tiene una novia. Ojalá que no sea una negra. You know what I mean? Like this idea of yes. like blancación is still happening.
Or the notion of vamos a mejorar la raza. Let's better the race.
So if you bring a white boyfriend home, like you're making the race better. Damn.
Girl, my family is learning.
Don't they know about skin cancer though?
It's real.
I know.
It's something that and that's the thing that, for example, I remember as a kid understanding the difference in skin, but it was through television. There was a I don't know if you remember Carrusel de las Americas.
Carrusel de niños.
Carrusel de niños.
Carrusel de niños.
Un carrusel.
Un carrusel.
Carrusel. Anyway.
People's like glasses just broke.
Like somebody's listening in the fucking subway in New York. Se le revientan los oídos. Anyway. There was a character called Sorullo. Wait, let me check that.
The black one?
Cut that. It's Cirilo. I remember, yeah. Yeah, you.
I'm not gonna cut it. But
okay,
what?
It's Cirilo. Uh-huh. Yeah, Sorullo. It's
who's that? Who's the other person?
I was thinking El Sorullo es el único, because that's a fucked up song too. Oh yeah, Sorullo, El Negrito. that's a fucked up song. It was called Cirilo, and they were always making fun of him, or they made him less, and he was poor. And this is in Mexico City, right?
Yeah.
That was, and his father was Johnny Laboriel. So Johnny Laboriel was kind of like the Sammy Davis Jr. of the Rat Pack of the Spanish. Con like Cesar Costa.
I remember that.
And he will always like, he was the best dancer of the fucking pack. He was the best singer. But he will always accentuate his lips because he will play his blackness, right?
Yeah.
But people in the Mexican Rat Pack, I'm making this up because that's not really a Mexican Rat Pack. But Alberto Castro is another one. They will always make fun of
his
blackness.
They were the Shangela of the show.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got it.
Stupid. No, but it was really... And I remember thinking, like, they always making fun of this man's skin and his lips all the time. And that was in TV all the time. And you can still see it today. There was a character called Tomás from TV Azteca. The same thing. It was full on blackface, and it was and always speaking of the colonial period, it's always coastal characters that come from Veracruz, because Veracruz historically is a place where free slaves were migrated to. Either they went back to Africa, or they settled in Haiti or the Caribbean or in Veracruz. So Veracruz has been the butt. Como se dice, the joke, the butt of the joke, or the
exactly.
for blackness in Mexico, and in fact in Mexico, it wasn't even part of the Afro Latinos. We're not even Afro Mexicanos. We're not even part of the census till like a couple of years ago. Even they just started to recognize them because the legacy of blackness is negated even within those communities that are historically African, that are historically black, and that it's transferred to media, to soap operas, and to everything, and that's what you grew up with. So when you hear your family making fun of your cousin that is one shade darker, you're like, oh, okay, that's what I heard. Like that's how you understand it. Like you really, and in they don't teach you this in school. Like you never contextualize the problems with all of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, and to make it more specific to the Southwest of the United States, you know that PBS special, Latinos in America?
Yes.
That blew my mind because I did not know that, you know, during the early part of the 20th century, you know, they brought over the braceros, right, to work on the fields here in the United States. And then the Great Depression hit. So then there was so much work that was that the white people needed. So they literally started hunting Mexicans and like lynching them. Mm-hmm. So this idea of passing as a white Mexican became very important through the mid-century. Mm-hmm. So like, this is why it always bugs me when Mexicans make fun of Mexican Americans that have been here for a couple generations because they're like, you can't even speak Spanish or you don't even look Mexican. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, but you don't know this person's family history.
Correct.
Like you don't know
the struggle.
You don't know the struggle, what they had to do to survive. If you're a third, fourth generation Mexican in the United States, your family went through some shit.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So this idea of, I'm kind of mixing ideas now of like being like Mexican and being white or whatever, but that's why there is a lot of, all over, right? There is a lot of Mexicans that are white passing.
Yeah.
That you would never know are Mexicans because a lot of them,
assimilated
because for survival.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that's the thing. What, that's when you have the privilege of the light skin.
Yeah.
But what happens when you don't have the privilege of the light skin? That's something that you're going to carry forever, for generations as well.
Yeah.
And the colonial legacy is going to, te va a seguir. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that Pamela was messaging me in. I feel like she's my friend, even though I've never met her and I just read this email. But she was messaging me on Instagram.
Yeah.
And she said, well, how are things are going to change? I said, if they do, they're not going to be in our generation.
It's going to take a while.
He goes, well, the only thing we have to do is just keep resisting. I'm like, yep, that's all we have to do. Keep educating and keep resisting. Because this, and that's one of the things that we were talking about in my other class, that there's a myth of something. Let's say the myth of whiteness, okay? And the myth has to be reinforced with something. Mm. It has to be reinforced with words, and it has to be reinforced with images or art, and it has to be reinforced by law. I feel like that's the process. You have the words, you have the art, or the art, and then the words, and then you have the law. And once the law passes, or once it is created as a science, so for example, when you say that Christopher Columbus, when he arrives, he saw cannibals everywhere, and he saw that people have dog tails, and that some people have three eyes. That's a myth. But then somebody in the next 10 years creates a map with all this mathematics and scientific shit in the map and adds a cannibal in the map, it becomes science and it becomes truth.
Yeah.
So the colorism that affects our communities today are part of a process of over 500 years of reinforcing the myth of the superiority of whiteness. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. So that's why when I heard a message like that, like, is it going to change? I'm like, I just don't see a change because it's been constructed for over 500 years. And it wasn't one person or one family. We're all embedded in the system. We all have participated. And it's just now that I see a lot of people starting to question it. But how many fucking decades and centuries we spend, like, it's truth. And when we resisted, we were taken down, or we were ignoring the history books.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And you know, it's crazy because when you're white, you truly don't know how white you are.
I mean, not
until
everybody.
Somebody
yeah.
calls you out.
Exactly.
On it.
Yeah.
Or you know, thankfully now there's a lot of TV shows that if you watch people of color, you're gonna feel something. And one of those TV shows is mm-hmm. One Day at a Time.
Oh my God.
I haven't seen the whole second season yet, so no spoilers, please.
Girl, Cabronas y Chingonas breakdown of the second season. It's brilliant.
I know. I haven't listened to it because I haven't. Tonight, I'm going to watch it. I'm just going to. I watched the first episode in New York with mm-hmm. my friend Autumn. Shout out to Autumn. And that's what they talked about. They talked about colorism mm-hmm. on the episode. And I love Rita Moreno on the show because she represents the old school Latinos. Because she kept saying, you know, Cubans are white.
You're and like, then, yeah, but Cubans are white.
Yeah. Like, yes. Yeah. So she kept saying, no, mom, not all Cubans are white. I'm Cuban. This, you know, like... Uh-huh. She's like, yeah, but we're mostly all white. Yes. You know what I mean?
And you see that. And that's the great thing about that show that, fuck, like, you recognize that from your own family.
Yeah.
And it's a problem.
And that, you know, I thought that was a very heavy episode of...
Oh, girl.
I know. I can't even. I don't even want to know.
That's actually my only complaint about that show.
It's too heavy.
It's... too heavy, too fast. Because that episode could be a whole season.
Totally.
Correct? And instead, they're just pushing.
I mean...
But I get it, because you don't know when it's going to get canceled.
This episode could be so many episodes.
Yes.
Because I'm thinking now. Because you're talking about how people just like put things on a map and write it down.
And it becomes science.
And it becomes science and it becomes law.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yeah, the Bible, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, but you're thinking about... Now I'm thinking about all those images of Christ that I've seen. Mm-hmm. And like when in history did that happen? When did Jesus become white? And then of course it became white when they were colonizing countries, or especially Spain. I know that whole route, you know. But then when did Jesus become white? And then when did he go back to being black or brown? Or brown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When do they choose to have saints that are darker? When did, you know, it's all to manipulate people, which is insane. Shout out to the Virgen de Guadalupe.
That's the beauty of that image, sticking of colorism.
Yeah.
Because that image was, if you believe in La Virgen de Guadalupe, this is now time to fast forward a couple of minutes. Because I talk about the Virgen de Guadalupe in a very art historical way. That image was painted by an indigenous artist. And that shit was dangerous. That's why indigenous people were not allowed to paint religious images. Not mm-hmm. only for that reason, but that's one of the reasons. Because they understand the people. They make an image for the people. And then they changed the entire religiosity of Mexico, of New Spain. And the church is like, no, 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 no. Why? Just because a virgen con, like, olive skin and with all this iconography that relates it to the Aztec period, right? To Aztec goddess.
Mm-hmm.
Where was I going with this?
How everything's a lie.
Oh, so... that image is supported by the Spanish for spiritual conquest. So in the beginning, that image starts as a form of oppression, if you think about it. But it becomes a cult, and now it's part of the people, and now it's our flag in a way.
Yeah, totally.
The first flag used by the people that were getting independence from the Spanish was that. So the image of Virgen de Guadalupe, and I'm quoting David Craven, it's at the same time as it was an image of oppression, it's also an image of revolution and liberation. All because of the brown skin, girl.
Damn.
It's such a powerful image. I used to throw shade, but after reading that article from David Craven, rest in peace, I was like, yes, this image is so complicated.
Yeah.
And mostly because of the color of the skin.
And because it's magic. I mean, it appeared on Juan Diego's robe,
right? Y llora sangre y se aparecen las tortillas.
Aleluya. Amen. Oh, my gosh. Well, did we answer a question or do we just rant for like 30 minutes?
Pamela, we love you.
Keep
she didn't
trying,
ask,
girl.
Oh my
anyway,
God.
Racism.
Oh my God.
Let's take a break.
It's a fucked up system, man. Yes.
Do your little music, please.
Today's episode is brought to you by BlueApron.com.
Blue Apron is the leading meal delivery kit service in the U.S., and while many people know what we do, Many don't know about the types of meals you eat when you cook with Blue Apron, like quick bucatini with broccoli and pecorino cheese, and Italian-style shrimp and sweet pepper. With incredible ingredients and chef-designed recipes, Blue Apron lets you see what the power of food can do.
And let me tell you what that power means, girl.
Tell me.
Cooking with your family. This quick bucatini, I actually did it. It what? Was amazing. It was really so good.
What if you don't have a family?
You go cook your meal, apagar la luz, te vas a la corner, and you start crying.
Yeah. No, you know what I do? Is I will actually get my Blue Apron meals, and I will cook them, and then I will put them in Tupperware and eat them throughout the week.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go cry in a corner right now. This commercial is going really bad, by the way.
Blue Apron is treating Latinos who launch listeners to $30 off your first order if you visit blueapron.com/Latinos. So check out this week's menus and get your $30 off at blueapron.com/Latinos.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
These days, you can get practically everything on demand, like Latinos Who Launch. Listen whenever you want, when it's convenient for you. And did you know you can even get postage on demand?
What?
All you need is stamps.com.
Oh my gosh, with stamps.com, you can access all the services of the post office right from your desk. Buy and print real U.S. postage from any letter or any package. All available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Damn. Just
click, print, mail, and you're done. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale. You can weigh your letters and packages and print the exact amount of postage every time.
Way, that's so convenient. So you can be watching one day at a time and a chadote in el couch. And you're like, oh shit, I gotta send that sticker to the listener, right?
Yeah.
So you just like reach your hand and get your little like weight, y lo haces, and boom, that's it.
Yeah.
You have to do nothing else. It's super convenient. It saves you a trip to the post office. ¿Qué más quieres que te platique, güey?
Right now, use Latinos for a special offer. 4-week trial includes postage and a digital scale.
A digital scale, that is. And don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type, guess what? Latinos. Type in Latinos.
That's stamps.com. Enter Latinos.
Qué felicidad.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know. Hi, and we're back.
¿Qué pajo? I feel like this is an episode that can continue forever.
Yeah.
So I feel like hopefully this episode will influence some of our listeners to send us some letters. And maybe we can do like a Casta system or Casta Latinos Who Launch Part 2, because I feel like I just started getting into it. And we just started scratching the surface. So we'll see.
Yeah, the tip of the iceberg.
Ay, la puntita solamente. Out!
So it's time for recommendations.
So
do you have any recommendations?
You want to go first?
You're the first one.
I guess.
Yeah.
Santo Niño de Atocha. So because all of a sudden this impromptu episode dedicated to Pamela Joseph, she tweeted me, oh my God, we're in communication everywhere she goes. La música que sale de la República Dominicana, la escucho y caigo en un abismo de calor, así dice.
¡Ay!
So she sent me a link of this guy called Vicente García, which I've never heard of. He came out with an album called A La Mar. Dude, she wasn't mistaken. This album has all kinds of different Caribbean rhythms, and my favorite song is Carmesí. I posted it in my Insta story. Hasta mi hermana me mandó un mensaje. She's like, are you listening to bachata now? I'm like, girl, I don't know what's happening to me, but I love it. It's amazing. The Caribbean is the present and future of music. So that is Vicente Garcia and the album. You can find it on Spotify. It's called A La Mar. And with that in mind, there's one more Afro Latina. There's one Afro Latina that I want to give a shout out, and that's Amara La Negra.
Of course.
Amara La Negra is amazing. Mm. You already know who she is, and she came out with a single on February 20th. So just a couple weeks ago. And the single is What a Bam Bam. Como dices tú, she's producing the bangers. So
really did listen to it.
I told you.
Oh, that's nice, friend.
I loved it. So the song, the single is What a Bam Bam by singer Amara La Negra.
Wow.
Te tosca, Matias.
You want to know something?
Well.
I was going to suggest her too, but now you took mine. But I want to, I was really inspired by a lot of these wonderful podcasts in New York City.
New York City.
I don't know.
It always makes me laugh when you say.
Oh, when I do an accent?
No, because it reminds me of that commercial.
Pace Picante?
Yes.
Or Ortega?
Ortega. Yeah.
I love doing a southern accent. Like, hey, y'all come back now. You here? It's like my
That's
favorite.
So bad.
Is it? I know. I know. Y'all, I just like saying y'all. My favorite is might, should, could when they say that. So good. We might, could do that. Okay, so sorry. So there was a lot of really cool podcasts, and then there's also a lot of really cool Instagrammers that I met. But one of them happens to be from Las Vegas, and she's awesome. She teaches at this school with a lot of fly-ass teachers in New York, in, I think it's in Brooklyn or the Bronx. Yeah, it's in Brooklyn. And the Instagram is Sartorial Educator. It's Sartorial Educator. And it's a fashion Instagram. She takes photos of mostly POC educators, teachers in Brooklyn, like when they're wearing fly ass outfits.
Nice.
So check it out. It's so awesome. The person that does it, her name is Miss G.
You know, and that's beautiful because I was educated in my grad school as every time I go to a conference, cortate el pelo, yeah. Ponte traje, guaraguara la cuchara.
Yeah.
And one time I went to this conference of American studies where it's like the most diverse conferences in the humanities, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. Dude, the hair and the outfits were out of this world. It was amazing. And I was like, fuck it. Like, these people don't need to like be themselves to feel like they're fucking performing identity. This is just who they are. So that's when I started growing out my hair because I was like, fuck it. I'm going to cut it anymore.
Yeah.
Every time I go to a conference, and I'm not going to pretend I'm something that I'm not just so people can take my ideas. So that is a really cool thing. I'm gonna start following
them. They're fly. And you can tell they look professional, but it's always with a little twist with like their personality coming through.
Sweet, sweet.
And that's what you used to do at school with your outfits, I feel.
Ay, güey, pero es un pinche flojo.
What happened?
I got poor.
Yeah, That's not an excuse, dude.
I mean, I still look cute. I don't look...
Obviously.
Yo no me voy con guaraches.
I know,
no,
but
I
you...
have tennis
pero
shoes.
Ponte un saco, güey, algo.
Ponte un suéter, Brenda.
Ponte un suéter.
Yeah.
We got to go to the thrift stores or something.
We have to. Because
you know, I was actually going to talk to you about this because I listened to this podcast and this person... I mean, you know, it's always hard for us to be taken seriously in all spaces.
Correct.
But I think the one thing that we can do is just like be on point. Like be like, I know it sounds fucked up, but it's like, I'm not telling you to like cut your hair. I'm not telling you, but just like own whatever the fuck you are doing and the way that you look. You know what I'm saying? And I think that is so important. And you need to also dress for the job you want. Like you want to be a tenured professor. You want to be a curator. You want to be Just be that already, and you're going to get it.
Yeah, because I mean, I do care, obviously. Like, I have my little style or whatever, but in school, I stopped caring for a long time ago.
I know. It's because everybody in your classes wears sweatpants.
No,
Don't let that affect you.
To be honest, I used to, because I wanted to prove myself, I always wear un saco, y sometimes hasta corbata.
Sí.
But then I got my PhD, and I'm like, fuck it, I don't care anymore. But I think you're right, and I'm gonna try.
No, harder. I mean, I more power to you. Amazing. You might have your PhD, but you don't have a tenured position.
Correct.
So you still need to step.
Continue.
Like como dice Madison, step your pussy up. Exactly.
Y con esa nos despedimos. Wonderful.
Oh my gosh. And as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Send your emails, latinoswholunch@gmail.com. Check out our website. I've updated it. Oh, yes. There's a whole section with crossover episodes. So any episodes that Babelito or I or both of us have been on other podcasts, you can listen. You can click on there and get links to all of that. Check out Babelito on Unravel Podcast. Check me out on Songmas. You can check out Babelito on Songmas also. And then
the rundown. You were in the rundown.
Oh, I was on the rundown of RuPaul's Drag Race, yeah, for Sir Online. Uh-huh. All those really fun episodes, even the stuff of us at KMPR here in Las Vegas. You can go to all those recordings. So if you don't get enough of Latinos Who Lunch,
si se sienten con hambre de nosotros,
just go to our website and it's all listed there under press or under Latinos Who Lunch on other podcasts.
That's awesome. And when you send your emails, make sure to send questions so we can get in. We can get into it.
Yeah, and if you want a shout out from us, we have a PayPal account.
I like how you dance to it. That we got a PayPal.
Well, people
account.
Are like, "Can we get a shout out?" I'm like, "Can we get a 20?" So, I'm sorry.
Shout outs are $20. No,
that's fucked up. But I don't mean that. But I do mean it.
No, we have a whole series of shout outs coming out in the listening letter.
Episode, yeah, so. But I would have shouted you out if you would have gave us some money. So,
yeah, I would.
Oh my gosh! And while you're at it, please go on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a review. 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And visibility is... Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. Our intern is Carla Lagunas. Our music is by The Bound Brownout. I'm Bobby Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Ciao, 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 ciao.